Satsaram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. Over so many weeks and months, we have come now to the seventh chapter of Sandeha Nivarini. Sandeha Nivarini is the second treatise that Bhagwan himself penned way back in 1958, when Bhagwan unfurled Sanatana Sarathi on the sacred Shivratri day, Bhagwan started Prema Vahini. And just a year after this, even as he was expounding the fundamentals of Indian spiritual thought in Prema Vahini, simultaneously, Bhagwan started writing Sandeha Nivarini. And now, out of his immense compassion, the Lord took the role of a devotee who was asking the questions, and now he, as the Sadguru, answered these queries and cleared the cobwebs in the mind of the Bhakta. The Lord is Antaryami. He knows what is going on in the mind of the seeker. And Sandeha Nivarini sought to clear these doubts in the minds of sincere spiritual aspirants. It's been an interesting journey for us as we contemplate on everything that Bhagwan has orchestrated in the form of question and answer for us. Chapter 7 begins very interestingly, where the Bhakta says that, "I don't have any doubt today. I have come today to listen to any of your nectarous words and put them into practice." And Swami says, "Very good. Understand that when these doubts do not come of themselves, nor are entertained by you, that is to be considered as purity. When these two happen, that is, when doubts do not come, and even if they come, they are not entertained by you, that is one-pointedness." In fact, this morning I was listening to a very senior devotee of Bhagwan, and she very sweetly said, "If doubts come, then you are out." That is how steady our faith and our love for the divine should be. So, finally, Swami tells the Bhakta, when he asks, "Okay, Swami, tell me, how should we generally conduct ourselves? What is the feeling we should entertain? What are the subjects that we should dwell upon? What are the acts we should do to deserve the grace of the divine? How can we attain your proximity? Please tell only such gems of wisdom which are absolutely important." And then Bhagwan begins by delineating many simple but profound precepts, which I feel are one-line summary of Bhagwan's eternal teachings. In 7.1, we discussed the first three such tenets that Bhagwan has given all of us. 7.2, which we've been discussing last couple of sessions, is one where Bhagwan talked about cultivating love for the Lord, how this is in fact man's first endeavor, and how it is man's duty. Today, with Bhagwan's grace, let's move on there are so many more such precious gems in this segment 7.2. As I mentioned before, these segments are something that we have done just for easy paragraphing of Bhagwan's chapters, just so that we can digest his writings little by little. So today, like in every episode, let's listen to Bhagwan. As I mentioned before, what you will listen now is a translation of Bhagwan's original Telugu, and we always, for this program, have been going back to the original and wherever necessary, retranslating, so that everything that we are discussing is as true to the original as possible. So we'll listen to 7.2 again and then pray to him so that he fills us with those understandings that are essential on our spiritual path. By his grace, we have in the studios today Professor Chandrasekharan. Some of you probably would have heard him before in this program. Bhagwan had sent him before too to the studio for this program. And today, he will be sharing his thoughts on these principles of truth that Bhagwan has mentioned in 7.2. So let's listen to Bhagwan's words, and then we will seek his blessings and benediction to guide the discussion.
For among all forms of love, man's first endeavor should be to love the Lord the most. 5. Such love towards the divine is bhakti. That is the duty of one's life. 6. Those who seek the bliss of the Atma should not go after the pleasures of the senses. 7. Treat truth as the life breath of man. 8. Just as the body that has no breath is useless and begins to rot and stink within a few minutes, similarly, life without truth is useless and tossed in the turbulence of strife and grief. 9. Believe strongly that there is nothing greater, nothing more precious, nothing sweeter, and nothing more lasting than truth. 10. Truth is the all-protecting God. There is no mightier protector than truth. 11. The Lord, who is the embodiment of truth, manifests to those who are truthful in speech and having a loving heart. 12. The spirit of self-sacrifice is at the heart of all-encompassing compassion towards all beings. 13. You must possess control of the senses, a peaceful demeanor, and a spirit of renunciation. 14. Be always on the alert against the four sins which the tongue is prone to commit. They are speaking falsehood, speaking ill of others, backbiting, and talking too much. To ensure that as far as possible, you never cross your limits in these tendencies is the best way.
So, welcome Chandrasekhar sir to Vahini Satsang.
Sai Ram, I offer my most humble pranams at the Divine Lotus Feet. Swami's gems of wisdom in this chapter 7.2 looks very simple, but to put in practice it require commitment, one-pointedness, and the factual understanding of what we mean by, what he meant by truth.
Hmm.
And then being truthful in the speech.
Yes.
So, it's a, at least to start with, the item 14, mm-hmm. where Swami says, be always alert
mm-hmm.
against the four sins which the tongue is prone to commit.
Mm-hmm.
So this Swami has always said that don't talk about ill of others.
Yes.
Don't do the backbiting.
Mm.
When you judge somebody, you are judging me mm. because I live in everyone.
Yes.
So in that sense, if you, the fact that you are judging someone, then you are seeing the duality in the world.
Mm.
Whereas Swami says, I am the love.
Mm.
I am embodied one Paramatma. I am embodied in every being. If Swami is there in every being, talking ill of others, and backbiting, and then having falsehood, speaking falsehood, is no good because we are still in a kindergarten stage in the spiritual path.
True. In fact, as you mentioned this, a very interesting, sweet incident comes to mind. This happened perhaps in the year 99-2000. I'm mentioning this because if you go to point number 7, 8, 9 and 10, all these four are focused on truth. Bhagwan begins by saying treat truth as the life breath of man. And then Bhagwan says how without truth our life is useless and tossed in the turbulence of strife and grief. But if you just go to that one statement, treat truth as the life breath of man, and truth again is as simple as it is complex, and perhaps your understanding starts with speaking truth, being truthful in speech. That is somewhere you begin your journey of walking on the path of truth to finally culminating on unraveling the truth of our being.
Yeah.
Yes. And the incident I was referring to was one evening, Bhagwan, after the interview, as he was taking darshan rounds, he came towards the students and he came further down. And it was the year when Bhagwan had started this Dina Jana Pathakam, wherein Bhagwan had built houses for all the orphan children, and Swami had kept money for them in the bank, and then Swami had arranged education for them and given them homes, and it was an orphanage started personally by Bhagwan, and these students used to come for darshan off and on as a group, and they would sit next to the students. So one day when Bhagwan saw these students, Swami asked one of the brothers who was serving Swami then to go and get apples. And when apples were brought, Swami started distributing. He was sweetly throwing at these boys. And after a while, Swami saw one little boy. He was sitting in the third or fourth row. And Swami told one boy who was serving Bhagwan, I said, you give an apple to that boy. And so when the apple was being given to the little fellow, that boy showed that apple that he already had in his hand. He said, no, Swami, I have already got one apple, he said. And you should see that expression in Swami's face, the spontaneity with which the little fellow wanted to be honest and not take one extra apple. It brought so much joy in Swami's face. Swami called the boy, come, come, come. Very good, very good, very good, Swami said. And then Swami created a chain and Swami gave him. And Swami was visibly thrilled that this little fellow had imbibed this trait of being honest. And the boy who was serving Swami, he said, even though it was such a simple act of that boy, perhaps he was in first standard or second standard, but the way Swami rewarded him for the truth that he spoke was such a powerful reinforcement for every student there, that everyone after that, you know, wanted to really be honest. And this is something that would always remain in their minds. And I remembered this because our journey on the path of truth begins with that first. Satyam Bruyat. Priyam Bruyat. Na Bruyat Satyam Apriyam. As Swami says, it starts with that journey of being truthful in our speech, isn't it, sir?
So, when we, in our life journey, we are given tasks, you know, as managers, as, you know, as, like, for example, the studio producers, we are given different roles and we perform those roles. Sometimes we are put in the job to judge people's performance.
Mm.
So, on one side, Swami's teaching says don't be judgmental.
Mm.
But as a manager, you need to be fair, evaluate each person's performance, and then tell them that you did like this, you didn't do like this.
Mm.
So because of which I rank you at this level, and then this is the salary you're going to get.
Mm.
So sometimes...
So these professional dharmic dilemmas.
There's a big dilemma.
Mm.
Do I not judge, give everybody same rank? Or how do I perform my
task? What is truth here?
And be honest and sincere.
Mm. Mm.
Still be fair with everyone.
Right.
Those who have done good job,
yes,
they need to be recognized.
Mm.
Those who have not done good job, they have to be told they have not done good job. So I was having this dilemma. What I learned from that is when you approach the staff, everyone, with love in your heart, then the way you convey their performance, achievements, and shortcomings, it is viewed in a very right sense. But if you correct them for correctness sake, with no love in your heart, they are also not happy, you are also not happy. So this is what I learned. When I joined Swami's Institute here, and I was made as HOD and other things, in one of the meetings, the discussion came about that how do we build character students, how do we channel them to the right path. Discipline is the first subject of Swami. How do we inculcate, you know, certain human values in the students by being, you know, very strict disciplinarian. When the discussion came, one of the senior members who have been very close to Swami at the time mentioned that Swami mentioned you have the right to correct anyone provided you have love in your heart.
Wow.
So the dilemma of the managing someone's, you know, students' life in the hostel, etc., correcting them when they do wrong things and you know, praising them. How Swami, when the story which we just now mentioned, how Swami instantly recognized the boy's honesty and awarded him in public.
Mm.
So, in that way, everyone learned a lesson.
Yes.
You know, by just giving that boy, you know, chain or whatever Swami made for that boy with love, everyone learned a lesson. Not only the boys.
Yes.
Everyone. So, another aspect of this one is, when you just touched upon the other one, in fact, the university's insignia is Satyam Vada
Dharmachara.
Yes. This is actually the
absolutely
motto of the university.
University.
So speak always the truth.
Yes.
Follow the dharma, righteousness. Mm. Conduct yourself in the right way. Satyam bruhet, priyam bruhet, na bruhet satyam apriyam.
Apriyam. Mm.
So this is actually when the truth hurts, then don't speak the truth. Just leave it. Be silent.
Mm.
But if you have love in your heart, even the when the expression of the truth, you can actually convey without hurting the person.
Yes.
At the end of the day, is the person who is receiving your comment or advice, understands that you are doing it for his good.
That you are genuinely interested in that person.
Your real love for him.
Yes.
He doesn't see you as somebody bossing over him and pointing finger at him. I really learned this because being a manager, I was put as a manager in IBM in Australia. And when I joined, there were about 75 staff. And then over a couple of years, it became 120.
Mm-hmm.
120 people, performance evaluation and the process evaluation was put on me. Just imagine 120 people of different culture, different nations, different language, different backgrounds have to be evaluated by one manager, and then they have to be happy with what you evaluate.
Mm.
It's quite a bit of a challenge, actually.
Yes, absolutely.
But the underlying fact is love. That may be the reason Swami, when he started before talking about truth.
Yes, he first talked about love.
Is the love.
Mm.
Swami also says love is also prana.
Yes.
Love is also force.
Yes.
Life force.
Yes.
In the top.
In the first. Yes.
Love is the very breath of life.
Correct. It
and
starts
again,
with that.
The truth, he says.
Yes.
Truth is the, prana.
Yes. Yes.
And without truth, the life has got no meaning.
Yes.
You'll be thrown into the trials and tribulations and turmoil.
Yes.
So the love and the truth, are they basically now intertwined?
Yes.
But when you come to the worldly level, the truth, what we see today, it may not be relevant tomorrow.
Correct.
So, it is not eternal, because Swami says the truth is something which is very powerful, most precious, nothing sweeter, and everlasting.
Yes.
So, every event, every experience we have in this, in our journey, in this life, they are all transient, temporary, and it has a context. In that context, it is relevant.
Mm.
After some time, it is no more relevant.
Mm.
So, it is not everlasting.
Mm.
So, how do we conduct our life in truthful way? Not Swami doesn't say, speak the truth, eternal truth all the time.
Yes, in fact, that reminds me of a little story that Bhagwan once narrated. So there is this man who goes to Bilva Mangala. Bilva Mangala was a great devotee of Lord from the state of Kerala, if I'm not wrong. And so this person, he was having terrible stomach pain. And they used to say that Bilva Mangala was such a great devotee of the Lord that whenever he want, he could speak to the Lord. If he called out to Krishna, Krishna would appear and he would have his conversations. So this man went to Bilva Mangala and said, I'm having this severe problem. Can you please ask Krishna and find a cure for this? So Bilva Mangala prays to Krishna, and Krishna says, when the rolling stops, this will go. So this is what he says. See, this is what Krishna said. When the rolling stops, your pain will go. So the man came back to his house and he felt that, because of the pain, he's rolling on the bed and twisting and turning. So that is the reason why he's getting the pain. So he tries to see how he can avoid rolling on the bed. So he tries that, but still there is no relief. And he feels maybe Bilva Mangala's remedy is not working, and he goes to another place. There was a very saintly lady who used to help a lot of people. And so when he goes to this lady, she was a very simple, devout woman. She said, "Don't worry. What it means is, you just chant Gopi Jana Vallabhaya Namaha. Don't think of anything else. Just chant Gopi Jana Vallabhaya Namaha. It'll be fine." And with a lot of love, the woman takes care of him, feeds him, and then gives him this instruction. And the man follows that. Next time when the pain comes, with full sincerity, he chants this Gopi Jana Vallabhaya Namaha. And the pain reduced. And again the pain came. He chanted with much more earnestness. It reduced even more considerably. And soon it was gone. And he came back to Bilva Mangala. And so the moment Bilva Mangala saw, told, "What happened? How are you?" He said, "It stopped, but you know, it didn't stop with your remedy. I went to this old woman and this is what she told me to do." And so Bilva Mangala said, "Oh, I don't know what Krishna meant, because I thought when Krishna said, when the rolling stops, the pain will go, I thought Krishna is referring to rolling from one birth to the other. Only when we stop this cycle of birth and death will your pain go. You thought that when you stop rolling on the bed, your pain will go. But neither you are right nor am I. Something else worked." She said, "I have to ask Krishna." So Bilva Mangala asks Krishna, and Krishna says, "What I said is, when you stop rolling in this world, rolling in this ups and downs, and the only way to stop this rolling in ups and downs is to concentrate on the Lord. So when you concentrate on the Lord and chant the name, then the rolling will stop. The rolling is rolling through this strife and joy and pain and chills and thrills of life. That rolling, when it stops, then the pain will go."
That may be the reason Swami says that among all forms of love, man's first endeavor should be to love the Lord.
Yes.
So before starting,
yes,
what is truth is all about, how powerful the truth is,
yes,
how do you have to conduct yourself truthfully, and then the tongue control, the four
yes,
sins to commit. Before explaining the practice of Satyam Vada,
yes,
he says, you cultivate
Prema,
love for the Lord first.
First, yes.
That's the foundation.
Yes.
Once the foundation is there, for the love for the Lord is there.
Correct.
Then you see the Lord in everyone, because Lord is a love, is embodied in everyone.
Yes.
Then your approach to every being,
yes,
will be with love.
Correct.
And everything what you say, more honest, more sincere.
Yes.
And more the welfare of the everyone.
Correct.
Around you.
Correct.
So without the love, we will be talking what will happen, because there's a fear. What would I do? What will happen in my company if I say this, that?
Correct.
Sometimes we don't really stand up for the values.
Correct.
And we say things and to avoid certain problems, but ultimately we are in the problem. That's what happens. So I'll narrate one particular incident.
Sure.
In the IBM. So I was going to Samiti every Sunday. And I had 3-4 projects, accounts were given in IBM, where I was managing it. Out of the multiple accounts and 2-3 accounts, their customers are very happy. The manager is very happy, and they are very happy with my staff, everything. The one account which I was doing for the customer, the manager was real problematic.
Mm-hmm.
So he was expecting me to come on Saturdays and Sundays work and implement the software in the production and all those things. But Saturday, Sunday is only 2 days is available for us. And Sunday being Swami's day, so our Samiti activities are around Samiti. So it was becoming too much for me, the company side. So one day I was stood in front of Swami's photograph. And there it says, I am the head of the family. I listen to every conversation. I am unseen guest in every meal. It's all written at the bottom of the photograph. So I stood in front of the photograph and said, Swami, too much problem in the office. Also, I am not getting support in the Samiti also. So I feel my health is not so good. You know it. So I would like to resign my position as a spiritual coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
And then ask the Samiti to recruit somebody else so that I can go to office and take care of my client. This is too much problem for me. You need to forgive me. So in front of this Swami's photograph, I'm standing and speaking to Swami. That moment, there's a voice within, you know, very clear, loud and clear. Not from the mind, because very clearly, if you look at the logic, it cannot be from the mind. Swami's voice was saying that, hey, Swami's work is more important than your office work.
Mm-hmm.
If your office work is impeding or preventing you from doing Swami's work, leave the office work.
Mm-hmm.
I said, Swami, how can I leave? Because I got a mortgage, I got a big house and commitments. I can't just leave. You know that. How can I leave? So there was no other further conversation, no other message. Next day morning, I went to office. As soon as I reached office, my executive general manager level, they were calling me that the customer is very unhappy and his customer says that your team has lied to the customer that software is implemented in the production the previous day, Sunday. That's the time the Samiti work was going on. So because of which they want us to take some serious action on those, and we think that your team leader has to go. Then I said, I'm sorry. First of all, we did not lie to anyone. And normally any production we announce in the dashboard that we have done it. And I know my team leader did not go to the manager, said that we implemented in the production. So no one has lied. So there's something gone wrong here. I stood my ground, you know. If that was there, I wanted to save my position or something, I could have let. I said, okay, maybe the team leader is behind my back, went and lied to him. So if that's the case, remove him. So I could have saved my job. I investigated, I found nobody said anything. So I stood my ground lovingly. I said, told the managers, my general manager, saying that if you, any communication, miscommunications, ultimate responsibility is the manager. I'm the manager. So kindly go and tell the client that instead of the team leader, we are going to sack the manager. So they were very happy. They took my head on the plate and they offered it to the customer. Customer was very happy. Instead of the team leader, the manager himself sacked. It was painful. It was like a surgical operation. Swami did to remove the project, which was actually giving problem for preventing me from doing Swami's work. The next day, the project was removed.
Mm-hmm.
The little pain I went through, it's a little surgery, little ego hurt that because we have been told that you lied. Mm-hmm. I took the responsibility, means I lied, which is not the case.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in our journey of life, without worrying about the consequences, you need to stand for certain values. Standing for the truth, what really act and be truthful. And that is important. Most often, we actually compromise our approach to many things out of fear of that this might happen.
Yes. As Swami is telling, you should believe strongly there's nothing greater than truth. nothing more precious, nothing sweeter, nothing more lasting. Mm. But to believe in the power of truth, I think, is very important.
Yeah, truth is ultimate weapon, Swami says. Mm. In Prema Vahini, Swami says, love is the ultimate weapon. Mm. So, if you look at the five values of Swami, Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, there is one more value called sixth value.
Mm.
In a quiz book, Swami is asking a question.
Mm.
And it is answered as Tyaga.
Mm.
So, apart from the five values, there is one more value called Tyaga.
Sacrifice.
In fact, if you look at it here, Swami talks about renunciation.
Yes.
You must possess the control of senses.
Yes.
So if you're going after sensual pleasure, then for the sake of enjoyment of sensual pleasure, you may not be truthful in your speech. You may be,
yes,
again diluting your stand,
mm,
and being truthful. So, first thing, you control the senses. Have a very peaceful demeanor,
mm,
and a spirit of renunciation, which is tyaga.
Yes.
So you are ready to sacrifice,
mm,
and peacefully, with peace in your heart, ready to sacrifice for the sake of truth alone. Mm. So if you are ready for it, I think to reach that level of state, the first and fundamental aspect is the control of senses. Because without the love, first you need to have the love for the Lord.
Yes.
The bhakti must be there. Without bhakti, any correction, anything you do, anybody, you, is only for ego's sake, not for the love's sake. So we need to cultivate the practice of truthfulness in our life with love in our heart. That's number one. When you have love for Swami, then Swami says control of senses, then you'll obviously, the seed for liberation, the ultimate thing will come in, where control of senses will automatically, you become less desireless towards the worldly things, and you'll be very peaceful in your heart, loving person.
Yes.
And which automatically translates and controls the four sins, Swami says.
True.
In the last.
True. In fact, here, when Bhagavan is telling the Lord, who is the embodiment of truth, manifest to those who are truthful in speech and have a loving heart. Truth and love, what you are saying. In fact, I'm reminded of another little story that Bhagavan used to mention in his discourses. So, apparently one day Goddess Parvati told Shiva that, I heard that there is a very beautiful sacred shrine for your worship at Kashi. And those who visit Kashi and who offer worship to you after a holy bath in Ganga, there they earn the merit of coming to Kailash and staying with you forever here. Is it true? And then Lord Shiva says, all the people cannot earn that merit. Mere visiting Kashi and offering worship to the image there, that is not enough. And Shiva says, I'll make it clear to you, who can come to Kailasha. Come with me. And so, the divine couple, they go to Kashi as an aged man and woman. And so Lord Shiva and Parvati are now at the entrance of the temple. And Parvati is a very old lady, 80 years. And Lord Shiva is a 90-year-old man. And so Shiva's head is on the lap of Parvati, and Parvati is crying, and Shiva is groaning in pain, and she's helplessly begging to all the pilgrims who are going there, saying that, look here, this person is my husband, he's terribly thirsty, he may die at any moment, can you please get some water, I cannot leave him alone and go, can you please just get some water for me? And so the pilgrims who were coming, and they were seeing this couple sitting there, and you know, they all had their ceremonial baths, and they have come with the water to do worship to Vishwanatha. And you know, of course, there are some people who just, they don't like that sight of this old man and unkept couple there, you know. And so somebody is saying, you know, you just wait, let's first finish the worship and then we'll come and take care of you. And someone says, what sort of a nuisance, why do they allow such beggars to come into the temple and so on. And as this was going on, there was one person who came there And see, he heard this woman's lament, and he could not bear the sight of this old man suffering. And so he said, Mother, what do you want? And so the old man said, Son, see, I came to have the darshan of Lord Visveshwara. My husband is so ill. He has fainted out of exhaustion. And he will survive only if someone can pour some water into his parching mouth. And I cannot leave him and go. Can you please go and get some water? I have requested many people to help me, but you know, nobody has time. They are going for their worships. They are all taking water and going, but nobody is giving me. So this person was actually a thief, but he was very moved by listening to this cries of this old lady. And he had actually brought some water. And so the old woman said, Son, can you give little water? Because my husband can die at any moment. But only one condition. He will not accept water unless the person who gives the water speaks truth and is a truthful man. And now this thief, who was a pickpocket, he did not know what to do. So he said, Mother, this is a very difficult situation. He said, What happened? He said, Mother, I have not done any good deed so far. I am actually a professional pickpocket. The only good deed is what I am going to do now. I am going to offer to your husband, but please believe me, this is the truth, and this is the only truthful thing that I have ever done in my life. And he poured that water into the mouth of the old man. And the moment he poured that water, then the divine couple manifested, and Swami says, they blessed this pickpocket and said, Son, you are indeed blessed. There is no greater morality than speaking the truth, and no true worship more faithful than service to fellow beings.
See? Love all, serve all.
You have been atoned for all the sins you have committed so far because of this one good deed.
See, what happened is, he moved, looking at the plight of this old couple.
Yes.
His heart melted.
Yes.
The love was pouring out.
Yes.
But then, he wanted to serve them.
Mm.
So in that case, when the demand was made that he has to be truthful, then he
did not shy away from that.
Yeah.
And he was moved, he was operating from a space of love and compassion.
So the underlying current to be truthful is a love for the Lord.
Yes.
Love towards him, the fellow beings.
Yes.
You know. The one thing is little, I'm not very clear. Maybe you could explain this. The last sentence in this 7.2, talking too much and all, we understand, backbiting, we understand.
Okay.
Is it to ensure that as far as possible, you never cross limits in these tendencies is the best way.
Okay.
So here, there are two caveats, as far as possible. And never cross limits. What is a limit? You know, why as far as possible? Why Swami made it that to the extent possible? Means, are we allowed to once in a while do this one? Or what is a limit? Is a limit means to what extent we can do this? This particular sentence is I'm trying to understand what Swami meant by this.
Well, possibly one thing that I can think of is Bhagavan, out of his kindness, set ceiling on desires. He did not say no desires.
Desirelessness, he did not say.
He did not say. Though that is the most ideal thing, to being a amanaska, is the highest that a spiritual aspirant can reach. But given the way our life is in the world, and given our strengths and weaknesses and pressures, whatever, Swami said, okay, you can have your desires, but you have a ceiling on your desires.
So it may be out of his infinite compassion.
Absolutely.
He
absolutely
has given a target which is achievable.
Yes.
We may further progress without even knowing.
Correct.
To the desireless state.
Absolutely.
Ceiling of desires.
Just so that you should not read and say that, oh my God, this is too much, too tall.
Too tough. I cannot handle it.
Yeah, so Swami is saying, try, you know, as far as possible, don't speak ill, as far as possible, don't talk too much. I remember when we were students, whenever Bhagavan used to come to the hostel and speak to us, Swami would always say, talk less, have less connections. Swami would always tell that, you know, in my school days, I remember. That was sort of a regular thing that Swami would say. Talk less, have less connection. Some would say if you talk less, your memory will increase. Don't waste your energy.
Because every time you speak,
yes,
there's so much of energy being wasted.
And only when you talk more, then you tend to backbite. You tend to talk ill of others. You know.
Gossiping.
Yeah. So the more you talk, there's more chances of you doing things that are perhaps not appropriate. If you talk less and think and speak, then you know every time you're speaking, you're thinking. Before you actually utter something.
That's a very nice analogy you gave, ceiling on desire, because looking at that from that angle, so the last line is that don't feel this is too tough to handle.
Yes.
You know, you try, like a loving father telling the children, you try as to the best of your ability.
Correct.
You know, but make sure that you don't cross your limits. Set your own limits.
Correct.
Don't go beyond that. But over the period, as you practice, then your own the limit, the boundary...
You'll keep increasing the threshold.
And then, you will become... You will never ever commit the sins and the sins which Swami has.
Absolutely.
It is a way of reduction to give an achievable target. From there, you can further progress. It's very nice, actually.
Absolutely. I remember talking to Mr. Raja Reddy, who had the chance to serve Bhagwan as his personal servitor for more than 25 years. He was a very respected devotee of Bhagwan, and his character and his personality was something that every devotee looked up to in those years, in the 60s, 70s and 80s. And I remember talking to him sometime much later, and I wanted to do a conversation with him. And he said, you know what, I have become an incorrigible introvert. I just don't feel like speaking anymore much. And he said that my day is just filled with sessions of meditation, and in every session, like, I'm just swimming in those waves of bliss, and I just don't want to come out of that. And his life was just spending relishing, swimming in those waves of bliss.
Wow. It happened to us. Before we came into Swami's fold, we were leading a normal worldly life. We were manager for some companies, working. Weekends we have some parties, we go to other person's house, they come to our house, and then in the house, during dinner time, we talk about all the world politics, and you know, total gossiping, you know, unwanted.
Yes.
The moment we transited to Swami's fold, we became a misfit in the worldly, the other crowd. So when we go there, we only talk about Swami. Our mind is always on Swami. Anything we want to talk about, always only about Swami, our experience with Swami, our Samiti's work, service activity in Samiti. Only our mind dwells only on those things.
Mm.
So slowly, slowly we became a very misfit in most of our our so-called worldly friends and networking we did, all withered away. So only few people who were into Swami's fold would talk only Swami, think of Swami. We were into that. Then our behavior, our approach to people through various activities, you know, like lovingly approach everybody. If anyone is suffering, you know, you feel like helping them, extending the helping hand.
Yes.
And even when you talk to anybody, you don't shout at anyone. You always approach them in a loving way so that the hurt is not there. So I think love for Swami automatically changed us, our behavioral aspect, how we speak to people, how do we, you know, behave, what should be done, what should not be done, all came automatically. So that may be the reason Swami says, love towards the Lord,
yes,
the Divine, is the first foundation.
Yes.
Once you have that, on top of it, how can we one can be truthful, how can,
yes,
we control our senses, you know, how can we, you know, wait for, like Harish Chandra,
yes,
with so much of difficulties went through in his life,
yes,
but he only spoke the truth.
Yes.
So,
it's a question of taking that leap of faith, and out of immense love for Lord, practicing that.
And then believe in that.
Believe in that.
God is always there.
Believe in that. In fact,
and
that
whatever happens.
True, true.
So the few pointers Swami had given, like 1 to 14, is wonderful guidelines. So,
I reminded of one little story when we talk about practice. Again, Bhagwan's Chinnakatha. Swami said there was this learned Pandit who was once giving discourse on the Gita in the august presence of a king. And the turn of this shloka came, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam Ye Jana Paryupasate Tesham Nityabhiyuktanam Yoga Kshemam Vahamyam. Which means that, you know, whoever thinks of the Lord with uninterrupted concentration, the Lord promises that I will take care of that person. So he was explaining this various interpretations of the shloka to the king, and he was a very learned man, and the king heard everything, but the king said, no, the meaning is not right. So the Pandit continued to go into more details of every shloka. He split every word, went to the intricacies of the Sanskrit language and tried to give so many elaborations of what this shloka can mean, but the king kept saying, no, wrong. I think you should do more homework. So, he did not know what he should do. Finally, the king said, I don't approve what you have said. You find out the meaning of the shloka, and once you have understood it completely, you come tomorrow. So, the king said this and he just rose from his throne and he went inside. And the Pandit was now completely weighed down by anxiety and he was insulted. I mean, never before it happened that, you know, whatever he said has not been accepted by the king. And he went home and he kept that copy of Bhagavad Gita aside and he just dropped on his bed and he was completely very crestfallen, and his wife saw him and said, what happened? Every day you come back so happy with gifts from the king, today what's the problem? And he said, so this is what happened, the king insulted me and I whatever I said was definitely the right thing, there's nobody who can explain it better, but the king somehow just wants to put me down, I don't know what happened to him, why is he so nasty towards me? And the wife heard everything very calmly to what had happened, and then she said, correct, what the king did is correct only. The explanation you gave for the shloka is not right. Obviously the Maharaja did not approve it. The fault is yours only. And now this infuriated the Pandit even more. He said, what do you know about the shlokas? I have been doing this for years together and you with your little knowledge, you are trying to question my understanding of the Bhagavad Gita. And he started roaring, and then his wife calmed him down. He said, see, why are you flying into a rage? What I told you was truth. You yourself read the shloka once again. Think about its meaning. Then you will find the answer yourself. And so, when his wife tried to explain to him with a lot of love and calmness, so he went back and he read the shloka, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam Ye Jana Paryupasate. And then the wife said, tell me, why did you go to the king? said, I went to the king because I wanted to expound on the slokas and why you want to do that. Obviously, once I do that, the king will be pleased with me. And why you want the king to be pleased with you, then the king will reward me. And then the wife said, why do you want that? And he says, what do you mean, why do I want that? How do I run this family? How do I run this home? How do I meet the cost of all your expenditure? It is for the sake of all this that I go. Otherwise, what business do I have with the king? Then the wife said, if you had only understood what the Lord had said in the Bhagavad Gita, then this urge to go to the king itself would not have arisen. The Lord is saying, if he is worshipped without any other thought, if one surrenders to him at all times with the mind fixed on him, then the Lord declares that I will look after, I will provide for everything. You have not done that.
The conviction, the belief that Lord will look after,
so you just,
it was not there.
You just speak.
Looking for alms.
But you want the Maharaja to reward you.
To give gifts, you want him to please you for his ego.
So you are saying something, but in action, you are not living up to the words.
Teaching and not practicing.
Not practicing. And so that was a eureka moment for the Pandit. And the next day he did not go. And the king sent his ministers to ask, what happened? Why is the Pandit not come? I'm waiting for his answer. And when the king sent his messenger, the Pandit said that, there is no need for me to go. My Krishna will provide me with everything. My Krishna will look after my yoga kshema. I suffered all this insult because I did not realize this so long. I was blinded by my eagerness to know only the superficial meaning of the words, but I never learned to surrender to the Lord. I don't need the king. My Krishna will look after me. And when this message went to the king himself came, and king then came to this house of the Pandit, and he said, from your experience, today I learnt what is the true meaning
of surrender.
Of surrender.
Wow.
So, I feel all of these things that Bhagwan is talking about, wherein truth is the all-protecting God, there is no mightier protector than truth. The Lord, who is the embodiment of truth, manifest to those who are truthful in speech and a loving heart. All of these things, I feel, are beautiful statements. But at the same time,
in fact, I even understand what Swami told me in the interview.
Mm.
In only one interview I had, and then where I told Swami, we have come here from Australia, we want your protection, we want your love, everything. Swami just came very close to me and tapped on my heart. He said, keep me in the Hridaya. And do my work.
Wow.
So, the moment you have the Lord in your heart,
yes,
and the love for Him,
yes,
everything else will fall in place.
Correct.
And, you'll be more truthful,
yes,
in speech and approach. Everything,
yes,
will come automatically.
Yes.
You don't have to do anything. Just keep me in the heart.
Yes.
And do my work.
Wow.
It's wonderful.
Dil mein ram, haath mein kaam.
There's one more thing I just want to actually ask. Maybe a concluding thing.
Sure, sir.
That Bhakta,
yes,
is asking, Swami, how we should generally conduct ourselves.
Mm.
So I'm looking at the 7.2, see, yes, whether Swami has answered.
Mm-hmm.
What is the feeling that we should entertain?
Yes.
That definitely understand. The love, yes, for God and see, yes, God in everybody.
Correct.
So that means the love for everybody all comes automatically. What are the acts we should do to deserve the grace of the divine? So be truthful.
Yes.
Do not commit yourself the four sins. These are the things. How can we attain your proximity? Please tell me only such gems of wisdom. Mm-hmm. So Swami clearly says that if you follow this, keep,
yes,
me in the heart.
Just like that pickpocket attained the sanidhi of the Lord.
Other Panduranga, this fellow.
Bilva Mangala.
Who was carrying water from Kashi to all the way to Rameshwaram.
Yes.
On the way, there's a donkey.
Eknath.
Eknath. Mm. He poured the water into the donkey, dying,
yes,
donkey.
Yes.
He didn't bother that I should take this water all the way to place. Everybody else was carrying it.
Yes.
But he didn't bother. He saw that, yes, suffering from the donkey. He just,
yes,
because he saw the Lord himself there.
Absolutely.
In every being.
Yes.
So it's basically have the love for Lord. See since he is the love embodiment in everybody, so see in everybody, then you, because you are seeing Swami in everybody, you will look after the welfare, you want to serve them,
yes.
Automatically love will outpour, you know, unconditionally from you. So then whatever you do, your speech,
yes,
all become nectar in truth only.
In fact, when Swami so beautifully, as he explained Satya, Dharma, Shanti, Prema, Ahimsa, after he talked about truth, righteousness, peace, love and non-violence, Swami said, love in action, love in speech is truth.
Yeah, love in speech is truth.
Truth. Love in action is dharma. Love in feeling is shanti.
Shanti. So love is under stress. So even this truth what Swami explained.
Yes. It is basically love in action.
The foundation.
Love in speech.
Then
yes.
He talks about
yes.
How do you do be truthful and all. It's
exactly.
So it's very nice, subtle ways, very nicely explained
yes.
It.
Yes. Beautiful.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. For
it's been a pleasure. Swami's grace.
It's Swami's grace that absolutely that you could come to the studios today. Well, he decides what he wants to communicate, through whom, when, how, and in what manner. So offering our salutations to Bhagwan for this yet another opportunity to soak in his beautiful messages, we dedicate this session at his lotus feet. Dear listeners, if you have any queries, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. You can also send us your feedback on our WhatsApp number, 9393-258-258. Once again, 9393-258-258. Thank you so much for being with us through this session and through the day-long Thursday Live programs. Sai Ram.